All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2. On Sunday evenings, we've been going through, we finished the life of David some time back, and we've been going through the life of King Solomon. And here in 1 Kings chapter 2, we find Solomon is on the throne. About verse 10, we find that David, I know it's been a couple weeks, I'm kind of reviewing a little bit, David died, slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David. And of course, David reigned for 40 years, 7 years in Hebron, 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. And so Solomon establishes his throne in verse 12. And as soon as he takes the throne, there are some things that he has to take care of. Some unfinished business. One of them was with the man Adonijah, his half-brother. We talked about that. And then the second person that he's going to deal with is the person we're going to look at tonight. And that is a man by the name of Abiathar. And so we'll just look at two verses this evening in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 26 and 27. Let's stand together if you're able to stand. If you need to remain seated, that's fine. Just I like to stand in honor of the Word of God.
Amen.
And verse 26, please follow along. And unto Abiathar the priest said the king, get thee to Anathoth unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. Those are the verses. We're going to stop there, and let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word.
Yes, thank
and Father, you told us in your word about these stories in the Old Testament, that they are for our admonition, for our learning, that we would grow and learn things about you and about life because of them. And so I pray as we look at this brief passage, these two verses on Abiathar, that you'd help me, Lord, to preach the message I believe you've led me to preach. Lord, we need thee tonight. I need thee as I preach. Fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit, and we all need you to listen this evening. We know that your Holy Spirit is also not only fills us and dwells us, but is also our teacher.
Yes,
so please teach us things this evening. Remove distractions from our minds and please work in our hearts. Again, I pray if somebody's here tonight that's not saved, that tonight they'd come to know Christ as Savior.
Yes,
but for the believer, we would look at this man Abiathar in his life and take heed to what happened to him.
Amen.
Help me tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you were to read about the history of the Baptists, and I mentioned a little bit about this in Sunday school. If you were to read about the history of the Baptists in Delaware, it would not be long before you came across the names Elijah Baker and Philip Hughes.
Amen.
Remember those names. Elijah Baker and Philip Hughes. Now, while the Welsh Tract was the first Baptist church in the state of Delaware, planted in 1703, they actually came from Wales and went to the Pennypeck Church. They formed as a church in Wales, came to Pennypeck in 1701, then migrated south to the Newark area, northern Delaware, in 1703, where they established their own church. They bought 30,000 acres there. It's a pretty neat building that's still up there. They were the first Baptist church in Delaware. The second, third, and fourth Baptist churches in Delaware were these. The Sounds Church in Sussex County. That was established in 1779. The Broad Creek Church in Sussex County as well in 1781. And then the Cowmarsh Church, or Mount Moriah, the one we know not far from here, established Kent County, 1781, in the Sandtown area. Now, those three churches I just mentioned, the Sounds Church, the Broad Creek Church, and the Cowmarsh, second, third, and fourth, and 18 others on the Delmarva Peninsula were planted by Elijah Baker and Philip Hughes.
Amen.
You get that? 21 churches two men. Elijah Baker came into Delaware from Virginia at the close of 1778. Philip Hughes joined him in the spring of 1779. And if you remember, we reprinted this book. This is actually the original early and later Delaware Baptist, printed in 1880. Written by Richard B. Cook, pastor of the Second Baptist Church in Wilmington. It came, I think they printed about 2,000 of these in different colors, in this color, kind of brown, then in a red and a blue. And we reprinted it, really to look almost identical, we tried to, in the blue. It's a great book. If you don't have this, you need to get this, okay? If you're a member of our church, we'll get you one, and I have a special price for you, amen? Amen. But you have to promise to read it. But you'll find that Hughes and Baker are both mentioned in this book. Listen to what Richard B. Cook said in this 1880 early and later Delaware Baptist. He said, they labored together as evangelists for about 12 months, preaching at Broad Creek, Gravelly Branch, and other places. Many converts were baptized on profession of faith and repentance. They prepared materials and resolved to build churches. They were not only well received and their labors approved, but in their efforts to save souls were aided on every hand by Baptist ministers and laymen who led them also in the constitution of churches and in the ordination of ministers. Messengers Baker and Hughes were instrumental in founding 21 churches. In Virginia, that's a good answer. Good praise the Lord. Virginia, Maryland, and Delaware, and spent much time in visiting them as fathers do their children. They also organized the Salisbury Association, Philip Hughes and Elijah Baker. So these guys were greatly used of God in a short period of time. Morgan Edwards, in his History of the Baptists in Delaware, he said this, Reverend Philip Hughes shares in the praise which Mr. Baker has in all the churches. He was born in Culver County, 1750, saved in 1773, called into the ministry, ordained in Virginia, 1776. He printed a volume of hymns at Wilmington in 1782, printed an apologetic on the subject of baptism, and publicly debated Methodist preachers on the same subject. So that's a little bit about Philip Hughes. But of those two men, Elijah Baker and Philip Hughes, one of them didn't finish well. Didn't finish well at all. It was Philip Hughes. Philip Hughes not only decided to change his doctrinal position, but eventually he denied the faith that he once embraced. It's a sad story. When you read about all that he did for those years and the churches that he and Elijah Baker planted, then you get to the end of his life and you find out he messed up. He changed. Philip Hughes was actually, I would say, put on a shelf by God. You know, if you were to look at William Cathcart's Baptist Encyclopedia written in 1880, you wouldn't even find his name there. That's how bad it was. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, but I keep my body, keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, what that verse means is this, is that he's saying, I watch what I do in my life. I watch what I allow in my life. I want to be very careful of who I associate with and the things I do, because I don't want to preach to others but not live the Christian life myself and have God put me on a shelf.
Amen.
Cast me away. That was one of his biggest concerns. That he might do something or make some bad decision or engage in some sort of wrong behavior that would put him out of the ministry or cause him to no longer be used of God as he could. And by the way, that potential is in all of us.
Right.
Preachers included. There's that potential there. I mean, think back over the years. How many good men have we seen or have we heard of that their lives ended in a train wreck? And it's so sad.
Right.
We all ought to be warned by that.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's not going to happen to me. Really? Wasn't going to happen to me. Really? It could.
Right.
It could happen to any of us.
Amen.
Or should I say it could happen to all of us. And that's exactly what happened to this man, Abiathar. Abiathar was a man that lost his position. He was a man that was once used of God, but would no longer be used in the same way anymore. His ministry was done. Sad, isn't it? Tonight I want to preach on this subject, the demoting of a king. Abiathar got demoted by Solomon. You know, the Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Right.
And that's very important to understand. And while, yes, it is important to start well, and we should, it is equally, if not more important, to finish well.
Amen.
To finish good. Now, Abiathar did not end well. Now, I want to ask why. What happened to this man? What took him from a man that was being used of God to a man who, he says to him, you're done. Solomon says to him, you're done. No more priesthood for you. What happened? Let's see if we can't figure this out. And take this as a warning for all of us. Notice, first of all, number one, the person of Abiathar. So who is this man, Abiathar? We're going to have a lot of names that begin with the letter A tonight. I even get confused myself when I'm bouncing between them, so I'm going to try to keep them all straight. But Abiathar's name, it first appears in Scripture back in 1 Samuel chapter 22. Go back there to 1 Samuel chapter 22, and we find his name mentioned there in verse 20. 1 Samuel 22:20. Notice we read, and one of the sons of Ahimelech, I told you a lot of A's here, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. Now, Abiathar was the son of Ahimelech. You say, well, who was Ahimelech? Remember, Ahimelech was the priest in the days of David. You remember the story, I think, where David was fleeing from Saul, and he was the anointed king, and Saul was pursuing him. And when he's fleeing from Saul, he doesn't know where to go, and so he tries to go to this place called Nob, because he knows that that's where the place of the priests were, and there was a high priest, a priest by the name of Ahimelech. He was a high priest during the days that David was fleeing, residing there at Nob, and so David goes there to get help from him. When he gets there, David, under a false pretense, asks Ahimelech for help. Look back at chapter 21 and verses 1 through 9. Won't read it for time's sake, but if you'll remember, we read, the priest answered in verse 4, David, there's no common bread under mine hand. The priest is saying to David, because David's looking for help, but there is hallowed bread. So we find Ahimelech listening to David's false pretense, a story he kind of made up, and he has compassion for him, so he gives him the hallowed bread to eat and his men from the temple. And he not only does that later on, if you look at verse 9, and the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. So Ahimelech gives David and his men the hallowed bread to eat, and he hands David the sword of Goliath to protect himself, and David and his men go on their way. Now, when Saul found out what Ahimelech did through that man Doeg, who saw what was going on, Saul and his men went to Nob, and in an absolute rage, they murdered all of the men that were at Nob, all of the women that were at Nob, even all the children that were at Nob, even all the animals in the city. Everything died. They slew them all, except for one person. One person had escaped the bloodbath. You say, who is that? Ahimelech's son, Abiathar. The one we're talking about here in the message. Look at 1 Samuel 22, verse 20 and 21. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the sons of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. So Abiathar escapes, and what does he do? He goes straight to David and told David what Saul has done. And David tells Abiathar, listen, hang with me, stay with me, work with me, and you would be safe. And for the next entire 40 years of David's reign, Abiathar was a faithful servant, a faithful priest for David. As a matter of fact, go back to our text in 1 Kings chapter 2, because Solomon says some of the things. He reminds us of what Abiathar did during the life of David. Notice he says in the middle of verse 26, "For thou art worthy of death, but I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father." So Solomon reminds us that he did several things. Two things, really. One was he bore the ark before David all the days of David's reign. So remember, we see this happening three times and his name mentioned in Scripture. When David had wanted to take the ark and move it into Jerusalem, when David was taking the throne and David wanted the ark there when he was doing it the right way, it was Abiathar that led the charge. He was a part of that. Then when David had carried the ark out of Jerusalem, when he fled from Absalom, when Absalom was trying to pursue the throne, it was Abiathar that was a part of that as well. He was carrying the ark of the Lord. And then when they went back to Jerusalem, when David was reinstated after the death of Absalom, guess who it was that bore the ark again? It was Abiathar. So Abiathar bore the ark of the Lord of David all the years that David was on the throne. But then Solomon mentions another thing. He says also, "And because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted." Abiathar was also someone who stuck with David through some very, very, very difficult times. Again, I think of two specific occasions mentioned in Scripture. Abiathar was one of the ones that stuck with David when King Saul was pursuing him. When Saul was pursuing David and his men, Abiathar was right there with him, never leaving the side of David. He was also loyal to David when Absalom rebelled against him. So my point is this, that for quite some time, for many, many, many years, Abiathar lived a faithful, loyal life to both God and to the king. He was a pretty good example. He was a very good example. Do you know the desire of every believer should be to live a faithful and loyal life to our King? Amen. Our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who saved us, the one who came to this earth and died for our sins. My life verse is 2 Corinthians 5:15. I know many of us have life verses. Sometimes people's life verses changes in different circumstances. But I always write this down whenever I sign my name here, because I think I just love this verse. Amen. It says this, "And that he died for all, that they which live, that are saved, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." You see, knowing that he died for me, he died for my sins, he died for your sins, we should not live unto ourselves. By the way, I spent many years living unto myself. Many years. Matter of fact, several decades. Living unto myself. I don't want to do that anymore. Amen. I strive, by God's grace, I want to live for him. And that should be the desire for all of us. Amen. And that means we should be faithful to church. That's part of living for him. Oh, I love the Lord. Well, then you'll love church, because he loved the church and gave himself for it. We will be loyal to the local church. We'll be faithful to giving and serving and witnessing. And by the way, in good times and in bad times. Amen. There's times where it seems easy to serve the Lord. You know, things are going great in life. No problems here. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Nothing bad going on in my life. But guess what? It's not always like that. Sometimes things hit personally, sometimes they hit culturally, And it really tries our faith. It really shows what we are truly made of. If we really believe what we say we believe. And again, so we're not to live for the Lord just for a little while, just when times are good. But all the time, right to the very end, we should strive to live for God.
Amen.
Abiathar did pretty good for a good while, 40 years at least, and more in David's reign. You know, over and over in the Bible, it warns us about staying faithful to the end. The book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, I believe was written by him. We can have that discussion after service if you like, but maybe not. But anyway, he was writing to Hebrew Christians that were drawing back in their faith. They started out well. They were excited about the things of God. They were serving the Lord. They were serving in good times and bad, but then they started to let up. They started to draw back. And we read him say several things throughout the book. For example, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. But Christ has a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. God wants us to stay true and firm, not just at the beginning, not just in the middle, not just when there's good times, all the time firm unto the end. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Amen. Hebrews 6:11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. God wants you and I to finish well. As long as we have breath, we should give him our all unto
Amen.
The end.
Amen.
But you know, we have to remember a couple things here, and this is still part of the first point. Number one is this: past faithfulness does not ensure present and future success. My past faithfulness, well, I used to be this, you know, I used to be faithful. I used to be a soul winner. I used to be this. Past faithfulness does not ensure present or future success. And then secondly, past faithfulness does not make you or me immune to any present or future stumbling. We have to stay firm throughout it all until the end. Abiathar started very well. And I want to ask you something. You may have started well, but are you continuing well?
Good.
That's very important. We'll get to that here in a moment. So we see, number one, the person of Abiathar. Then we see, number two, the path of Abiathar. What in the world happened to this man? Solomon has just begun his reign. And here in verse 26, notice, now remember, this is the guy that was faithful under the reign of David. This is the guy that carried the ark on many occasions. This was the guy who stood by David when Saul was pursuing him, when times were good, when Absalom was rebelling. And he still, all the while, stood faithful to God and to David. What in the world happened? Solomon has just begun his reign, and he's already pronouncing, notice, get thee to Anathoth, verse 26, unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. Huh? Abiathar, his father's loyal, faithful priest, the one that labored alongside his dad for decades, has done something that is worthy of death. And also, notice verse 27, so Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord. What did he do that was worthy of death that ended up costing him his ministry and caused God to put this man on a shelf? How did this happen? Can I say this? Whenever this happens to anyone that God puts them on the shelf, it's not a moment thing.
Right.
It is something that is a progression. It is something that happens over time. And you find yourself in a place where you say, how in the world did I get here? How did Abiathar get here? Well, here's what happened. It began, I'm going to give you three things you ought to write down. Number one, notice it began with his comrades, who he hung out with. Now, go back to 1 Kings chapter 1. And let's look at we'll look at verse 3 or so there. Now remember, when King David was dying, Solomon's brother, his half-brother, Adonijah, who Solomon just dealt with in the previous passage, tried to illegitimately obtain the throne. He tried to steal the throne from Solomon. And in order to do that, what did he do? He began to put into motion an evil plot. Look at verse 5 of 1 Kings chapter 1. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. He publicly proclaims himself, I'm going to be the king. But he didn't stop there. Look at verse 7. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest. You see, Adonijah tries to secure support from anybody that he could so that he could take the throne. He needed to get others involved with his plan. And the first person that Adonijah pulls into his plan was that good old guy named Joab. The evil guy, Joab. The second person that he pulls into his plan was this man, Abiathar. And that's where it began. It began when Abiathar started hanging out with the wrong people. Very important. You'll find that most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, bad behavior, bad influence begins when you start hanging out with the wrong people.
Right.
1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. By the way, in our day and age, you don't have to go anywhere to hang out with the wrong people. You can do it with your phone. You can do it with your computer. You can find them online. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them on Instagram. You can find them on Twitter. You can watch them on YouTube. But you can also find them at work. You can even find them masquerading as so-called Christian friends, hanging out with people that have a worldly philosophy, that influence your thinking, that try and bring you down the wrong path. You see, we get influenced by the people that we hang around.
Right. Amen.
Well, they won't affect me. Yes, they will.
Right.
We're influenced by what we watch. We're influenced by what we read. That's why, dads, you ought to make sure you're guarding that home, guarding what comes in that home, guarding that computer, guarding that television, what's watched, what's read, what's listened to, and who your kids are hanging out with as well. Because it often begins with people that you hang out with. You know, the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth with that guy that was in sin in the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that wasn't getting right about his sin. They were told to put him out from among them because he was unrepentant. And he says this, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? In other words, that you put a little yeast, of course, in dough, and it goes all the way through it. It takes care of the whole lump. And it's the same thing when you and I hang out with the wrong people. They are going to influence us and bring us down.
Amen.
You say, I'll bring them up. No, they'll bring you down. I remember the story about Spurgeon meeting with a young woman that wanted to marry a lost man, and she said, he was her pastor, and she said, I want to marry him, and I can help him, I can bring him up. He says, let me show you something. He said, stand on that chair, and he had her stand on the chair. He said, grab my arm, and she grabbed his arm. He said, pull me up. She says, I can't. He says, you're right, but I can pull you down.
Right.
You get it? Right. Same thing with people, right? That they can pull us down. Be careful who your comrades. That was the step that Abiathar took in the wrong direction. He began hanging out with the wrong people. Then secondly, notice his choice. So here comes, again, we're still in 1 Kings, and we're talking about what happened, this path that he took. He started hanging around the wrong people, and of course in verse 7, and he conferred, talking about Adonijah, he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest. So he's just talking to them at this point, but then Abiathar made a choice. We read at the end of verse 7, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. Adonijah said, okay, I'm in the plan. Adonijah made a choice that literally changed the course of his entire life. It's very important. He chose to go in a different direction. He chose to support Adonijah to try to steal the throne. Right. It was a bad decision. It was a wrong decision. Right. It was an unbiblical decision. It was an ungodly decision. It was a decision that violated the word of God, and it was a decision that had lifelong ramifications.
Amen.
But Abiah chose to do it. Anyway, tonight I want you to consider the decisions and choices that we make. I heard a preacher once say this, more important than the years that we live are the decisions that we make. And that's true. Every decision that you and I make is an important decision, because one poor decision can change the path of your life, the direction of your life, the course of your life forever.
Amen.
Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Do we understand tonight that the people that you choose to hang out with can change the course of your life forever?
Amen.
Do we understand tonight that the job that you choose, well, it's just a job, it's no big deal. It is a big deal.
Amen.
The job that you choose to take can change the course of your spiritual life forever. By the way, young person, the person you choose to marry, the most important decision outside of salvation in the life of a believer is who you marry. Do not take it lightly. Right. Listen to who God puts in your life to guide you, your parents and your pastor, because the person you choose to marry can and will change the course of your life forever.
Amen.
The behavior you choose to engage in, the place you choose to live. Well, we're just moving. No, it's a big deal. The purpose you choose for life, all of that can change the course of your life forever. Listen, consider your choices very, very carefully.
Amen.
Every choice is important. Amen. There's a foolish philosophy people apply to their lives. I've heard this before, and they say this, well, it's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. I'm just going to do what I want to do, and just whatever happens, I'll get forgiven. Stop. Stop. Adonijah made a foolish decision, a foolish choice that changed the course of his life. So we see his comrades. He started with his friends. Then it went to his choice. And then thirdly, notice the cost. You know, go back to our text in 1 Kings chapter 2. Do you know that Abiathar's choice to go with Adonijah, follow him, actually could have cost him and should have cost him his life? Treason was a capital offense punishable by death. Notice what Solomon says to him in verse 26. And unto Abiathar the priest said the king, let thee to Anathoth unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But Solomon in his mercy spares this man. But while Abiathar's life may have been spared, notice it will never ever be the same. His choice cost him dearly. He lost the priesthood. He lost his standing. He lost his place of service for God. He could no longer serve the Lord the same way he did. The course of his life has changed. He lost some very, very high spiritual privileges. And by the way, this pictures well what a child of God that makes poor choices will end up doing. You know, we can make choices that could cause us to not be able to serve the Lord in certain positions anymore. Someone could sin themselves or choose wrong decisions, going to put them out of the ministry, not being able to be a pastor anymore or a deacon. But it can be done in many ways. You can make a choice that's going to make you won't be able to do what you once did before. Your life's going to change. You can't be used for God anymore and put on a shelf, all because of poor choices. Poor choices. By the way, the list is long of God's children who've made bad choices that have caused them to get out of the will of God and change the direction of their life forever. You know, one of the hardest things as a pastor to do is watch someone make a dumb choice. something you know is unbiblical, something you know that's wrong, and they just want to do it. They just think, this is the way I'm going to go, and I'll just bear the consequences. And you see a person that once served the Lord, once that was living for God, that was greatly used of God, not be used of God in the same way anymore. All because of a choice. Do you know that Abiathar, I want you to think about this, Abiathar would never see the inside of the tabernacle, Holy of Holies, again. Never. It would all have to be a memory, what I used to do. I wonder sometimes which is worse. What is worse, death or a life of living out the unchangeable consequences of a bad choice that was made out of the will of God? Oh, it's so sad what can happen.
Amen.
Because of our choices. So we see, number one, the person of Abiathar. We see, number two, the path of Abiathar, his comrades, his choice, the cost. And then number three, we see, notice, the plan of God. Although I didn't read this verse. So here Abiathar is taken out of the priesthood. Verse 27, so Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. But then notice over, if you will, on verse 35, and the king put Benaiah the son of Jehoiada in his room over the host, and Zadok the priest, notice, did the king put in the room of Abiathar. You know, it's interesting that Abiathar's priestly ministry was over. He's done. Never see the inside of the tabernacle again. Never be what he once was. But do you notice something, that God's work wasn't done? That God's work still continued. God himself took that position that Abiathar had, that void that was there because he made bad choices, and he filled that void with a man by the name of Zadok. And God found in this Zadok a man now that was making good decisions, a man that was making godly decisions, a man that God could use to take his position.
Amen.
God's work continued.
Praise the Lord.
Can I remind us tonight, as we finish this sermon, that God wants us to serve him?
Praise Jesus.
He desires that we serve him.
Amen.
He will even bless us for serving him.
Amen.
And our life will be the very best it could be if we serve him.
Amen.
But can I add this? God doesn't need us.
Amen.
He doesn't need us.
He
doesn't need us. It is a privilege.
Praise the Lord.
An absolute privilege.
Hallelujah.
To serve the Lord.
Amen.
You see, whether I am a part of God's plan or not, and I want to be,
amen,
God's work will continue. I'm going to keep going on. You know, one day I'm on my end of this earth, right? This way, somebody else is going to be here. That's just reality. You know, I'm not trying to put a black cloud over things, right? Just the way it is, right? God's work's going to continue. It doesn't end with me. It's been going on for centuries. It's been going on a long time. And God wants us all to serve him. He does. He wants us to live for him. But guess what? If you choose not to and you make bad, he's going to fill that void.
Amen.
With somebody else. That ought to change our heart's attitude.
Amen.
Towards the work of God. That it is a privilege to pastor this church. It's a privilege to serve in the ministry. It's a privilege to play the piano. It's a privilege to sing in the choir.
Amen.
It's a privilege to teach in a Sunday school class. It's a privilege to even work in the nursery. Amen.
Amen.
And all the ladies said amen. It is an absolute privilege. You see, all of us should desire to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And while where you may be, I don't know tonight, maybe you're at the beginning of your Christian life and things are growing great, understand, all of us, no matter where we are, at the beginning, at the middle, or at the end, we should be so careful about the choices that we make.
Amen.
So that we might not be like Abiathar, make choices after 40 years of serving the Lord, made some choices that were bad, that caused God to take him and put him on a shelf, deemed unusable by God. God, all because of his decisions. We want our lives to bring honor and glory to him.
Amen.
From the beginning of our Christian life all the way to the end. Tonight the message is about this. Be careful of the choices you make.
Amen.
They're a big deal.
Amen.
Be careful who you hang out with. Be careful the job you take. Be careful what you allow in your life. Be careful of all those things. Because God wants to use you for His glory from the beginning
Praise the Lord.
To the end. Amen. The demoting of a king. Let's pray.